you've happened on our program, and you're listening for whatever reason. Maybe it's because you believe what we're saying. Maybe it's because you do not believe what I'm saying. Maybe it's because you worship another kind of God, or you just don't believe in Christianity. Maybe you're Hindu. Maybe you're a Muslim. Maybe you're a Buddhist. Maybe you're just an atheist. Why are you listening? What is your God like? Let's talk about your God and my God. Today, we're moving into Daniel chapter 3. And as we move into Daniel chapter 3, if you're going to understand Daniel chapter 3, then you must take it from Daniel chapter 2 into Daniel chapter 3. So I want to go back and I want us to look at the end of Daniel chapter 2. Now remember, Daniel has just given the king the interpretation of his dream. He told him what he dreamed and gave him the interpretation of his dream. He has told him what is going to happen in the latter days. And the very fact that Daniel can reveal the dream and reveal the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar just in a sense blows Nebuchadnezzar out of the water, because he sees that Daniel's God is different. And this is what he says. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face. He fell on his face. He hears this dream. He hears the interpretation of the dream, and he falls on his face because he knows, gut level, inside, he knows that it's true. And he did homage to Daniel. He did homage because he knows that Daniel knew what he dreamed, because I believe the king knew what he dreamed. And so he gave orders to present to him an offering and fragrant incense. Now that kind of, in a sense, sounds like something you would do for a god or somebody that you are greatly honoring. And the king answered Daniel and said, now listen to what he says, surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. And when it says, surely your God is a God of gods, it's capital G, your God is a God of gods, small g. You say, but that's because people that believed in God wrote this, so they capitalized one and they didn't capitalize the other because they're prejudiced. And that is a logical reasoning. If you do not believe that this is the word of God, and you may be listening and not believing that this is the word of God. As I said in the introduction to the program, you may be listening to this teaching because you're curious, or you may be listening to this teaching like a Jewish friend of mine said that he watch Christian television. And he watched Christian television just because he wanted to see what Christians were saying. And then in his mind, he would tear it all apart. It's so interesting. I love this man. And we have wonderful, wonderful talks. And we greatly, greatly respect one another. But he saw a lot of, you know, what I call falderaw going on in the name of Christianity. And he would just sit there. And many times they would just laugh and mock and say, surely God is not like that. Surely, you know, God requires something higher and than this kind of behavior and this kind of teaching and manipulation and stuff like this of people. But you may be listening and you may be saying, you know, what is this God? What is this God? Or you may be listening because you're looking for another God, because the gods that you have worshiped haven't fulfilled you. Or you may be listening because you hear about an intimacy with this God that you don't have with your God. You may be listening because the person that represented your God, the prophet that spoke for your God, or the prophet that gave the revelation, is so different than what you're reading and hearing in the Word of God. And I want to commend you. I want to commend you for listening. I want to commend you for saying, you know, I want truth. I really want to pursue truth. And even if you're listening because it's just good entertainment, that's okay. That's okay. You're hearing truth, and truth never leaves a person in neutral. And God's Word never returns to Him empty. It accomplishes the purpose that God wants it to accomplish. You say, well, it's not accomplishing anything in my life. I'm just listening, and it's not going to accomplish anything in my life. But it is, because what it's doing is you're hearing truth and you're rejecting it. So God says in Romans 1, you're going to be without excuse. Well, let's go on. Now, as he talks about God here, and he has this awesome response to Daniel, in chapter 3, the king goes out. Let me read it to you. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. Now that's a 10 to 1. It's an unusual proportion in a sense for a statue. And when you figure cubits, it would be about 90 feet high and 90 feet in width. I mean, 90 feet high and 9 feet in width. Now, this is made of gold. Now, whether it's overlaid in gold or whether it's solid gold or whether it's a form and then gold is poured on it, we don't know, but we know that when you looked at this statue, it was gold. It was gold. So Nebuchadnezzar, the king, makes an image of gold, and he sets it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, what is so neat is there is an archaeologist, and this archaeologist went to the plain of Dura, and there he found three mounds. This archaeologist's name was Julius Opert, O-P-P-E-R-T. And when he began to uncover them, one of the mounds had this humongous-like base. And he could not help but wonder, but since it was in the plain of Dura, since it was so mammoth, if this wasn't the platform that the statue must have rested on. I mean, it is interesting to think of, because they're both in the plain of Dura. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. All right, now he's ordering all the rulers of the provinces to come along with the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and all these other people. Well, who's the ruler? Who's ruling Babylon? Well, if you go back in verse 49 of chapter 2, it says, and Daniel made a request of the king. And Daniel appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon while Daniel was at the king's court. So who would you expect to see there? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If Daniel stays at the king's court, you wouldn't necessarily expect him to be there, but you would expect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be there. It says, then the satraps, and by the way, you want to mark every reference to the image. Forgive me for not telling you this, but just mark the image of gold. I colored it yellow and I underlined it in brown. So he made this image, all right, and then he sent word to assemble these people. Verse 3, then the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the province were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now, Daniel wants us to know, you know, all these levels of leadership that were there. He's calling the leadership. He's not calling the masses, but he's calling the leadership to this plain of Dura to stand before this image that Nebuchadnezzar is about to dedicate. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and to worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Hey, what is he saying? He's saying, I brought you all out here, all you leaders, not only to dedicate this statue, but to command you to bow before this statue, to give homage to this statue, to indicate that you are, in a sense, serving this statue of gold that I have set up. All right? Now, he wants people of every language, men of every language, to do this. And he's not saying, I'm just going to sound a trumpet. He's got a whole orchestra there, so to speak. So the minute you hear all this music, you are to fall down and you are to worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. This is what the herald's saying. The herald is saying this. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Do you hear another key repeated word here that goes with the image? Yeah, you hear the word worship. And so I would mark the word worship. It's a very important word because he's calling all these people, men of every language, to give homage to the statue. And it says, for this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. What Jews? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why are they there? They're the head of the province of Babylon, and all the provincial heads are to be there. And they responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, O king, live forever. You yourself, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and the bagpipe, and all kinds of music is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods nor worship the golden image that you, O king, have set up. Why would these men be so quick to point out these Jews? Do you think that there might be jealousy? Do you think there might be jealousy because they're Jews and not Babylonians? Do you think there might be jealousy because they get to rule over the province of Babylon? Because their friend Daniel is in the king's court? Do you think it's an anti-Semitic move? A move of jealousy, a move of a natural hatred. And what's going to happen to these three Jewish boys? Well, if you've never read the story before, you're going to be excited. If you've read the story before, you know, but it's still exciting. And we'll talk about it after this announcement.
Jesus gave us the Great Commission.
He told us, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you.
Go, make, teach. That sounds like meeting people and getting them into the Bible.
That sounds like inviting someone to your Precept Bible Study group.
Well, we released our Galatians Precept Upon Precept and In and Out Bible Studies last November. But one of the things we like to do is to see how we can increase participation in Bible study globally. We have people in a number of countries around the world who want to study with us. And so the Lord led us to decide, well, maybe we could have everybody around the world studying the book of Galatians at the same time, that they would be able to share around the world what that glorious book is doing in their lives. Visit precept.org/globalGalatians today.
I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Nebuchadnezzar was a hot-blooded man. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar would book no insubordination to him at all. When he heard the news from these other officials that these Jews had not bowed down to his image, he was in a rage. Now, I want you to see this man. I want you to understand this man. This is the man that has conquered Jerusalem. We're going to learn more about him. This is the man that has conquered Jerusalem. This is the man that has just been told that he is the head of gold, that he is the king of kings. And now here are three Jewish boys that are their captives have just come against his authority. And he has heard about it. And it says in verse 13 of Daniel chapter 3, then Nebuchadnezzar in a rage and anger gave orders to bring up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then these men were brought before the king and Nebuchadnezzar responded to them. And he says, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you have not, do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Is it true that you're not worshiping my gods? Is it true that you're not going to bow before this golden image that I have set up? This is Nebuchadnezzar. This is the great king of Babylon. This is the head of gold. And while Daniel retained his humility, Nebuchadnezzar just gets more and more puffed up, as you will see. This is a man who, during the first half of his reign, went out and conquered and conquered and conquered, so that when he commands them to come to this plain of Dura, there are men from all these different languages there, because he rules over them all. And he rules supremely, and he will not have his authority challenged in any way. He is in a rage. And now he's in a rage because he wants to know, you mean you don't worship my gods? You mean you're not going to bow before this image? He already has his punishment ready. They didn't all of a sudden kindle a fire. But it told us earlier when the herald blew the trumpet, in verse 6, whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately, Not next week. This is no, we'll put you out, you know, we'll allow you to go free if you'll give us a bond. You know, we'll try this case next week next year or that. No, you will be put immediately, cast immediately into this furnace that is blazing with fire. Now, let me stop and describe the furnace. The furnace was not, it was not something that you would walk into this way. The furnace was a huge, in a sense, rectangle that had a mound of earth going up to it, up one of the sides of its wall, and there was a big hole in the top, and so that's where they would cast in any dissenters. They would cast them in from the top. They would, in this plain of Dura, they would walk up the side of this earthen mound on one side of that furnace, and they would be thrown in from the top. But the king would sit over to the side, and on the side of the furnace, there would be a great opening, like a door, where he could sit and and watch his dissenters being roasted as crispy critters, excuse me. So he could watch them burn. He could watch them in their torture. But they would be thrown in from the top. It's not like they would walk in from the bottom. It's far more dramatic to parade them up to the top and then drop them in. And so this is what is about to happen. It says, he gives them another chance, though. He is furious. He is in a rage. I hope I've conveyed that rage. Now, if you are ready, he's still in this rage. If you are ready, at the moment that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image which I have made. Very well. Very well. Go well with you, boys. But if you will not worship, you immediately will be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you? What God is there who can deliver you? Listen carefully to the next words. Out of my hands. What God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Maybe you're listening to find out what kind of a God this program represents. You're about to find out as we continue our study in this chapter. But I just want you to catch what's happening here. And I want you to catch, he's about to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that fiery furnace. Now, if you'll remember in chapter 1, these young men had Jewish names. Their names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But when they got to Babylon, they were given Babylonian names. Let's look at the contrast of these names. Hananiah meant God is gracious, or Yahweh is grace. God is gracious, or Yahweh is grace. They changed Hananiah's name to Shadrach, which means command of Aku, or Aku. A-K-U. It was one of their gods. So they're saying, okay, here is this man who says his name is God is gracious. We're changing his name to the fact that he's under the command of Aku. He's under the command of our God. And then Mishael. Mishael means who is what God is. In other words, who can contend with God? Who is greater than God? Who is what God is? There isn't anyone. God is altogether other than he is God. So they take Mishael's name and they change it to Meshach, which says, who is what Aku is? Who is what Aku is? Then they take Azariah. Azariah's name in Hebrew meant Yahweh has helped. Yahweh has helped. And they changed it to Abednego. Abednego means the servant of Nebo. The servant of Nebo. Now just stop and think. Here are three Jewish boys standing before them in the sovereignty of God, named by God. And Hananiah's name means God is gracious. Mishael's name means who is what God is. And Azariah means Yahweh has helped. What are these boys with these names going to do and going to say? Will they bend? Will they bow? Or will they burn? Well, let's go on and see what it says. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of this blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O God. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath. And he ordered those boys up to be plunged into that furnace of fire. Who is what God is was going to be thrown into that fire. God is gracious was going to be thrown into that fire. Yahweh has helped was going to be thrown into that fire. Nebuchadnezzar just didn't really know and understand who he was throwing into that fire and who their God was. He had seen God's power. He had seen God's power and God's ability to give Daniel insight into the vision, into the dream, and into the interpretation. And he was awed with God. But you know what? He hadn't submitted to God. Have you ever thought that the reason that he built an image of gold was because he didn't like the image that God had told him about in his dream that only had a head of gold? Oh, beloved, what is your God like? What is your God like? Would your God allow you to be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire? Would your God do anything to help you? Is he able to help you? Is your God a God who is near or a God who is afar? Is your God one that you can be intimate with or one that is a stranger that you just fear? Oh, you don't want to miss the next lesson in this series on Daniel.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.